Isabella Battia Thornton finds sanctuary at her piano, where her fingers dance across keys that respond to her every touch. When she plays, she truly rocks. But beyond this musical haven, her life has become a complicated composition. Her parents' divorce has split her world in two. One week at mom's modest house with its Target candles and comforting routines, the next at dad's luxurious mansion with its formal dinners and pristine Steinway. Every Sunday at 3 p.m., she's exchanged like a wrong-size pair of jeans in front of the mall's Apple store, clutching her overnight bag filled with homework and the stuffed penguin that travels between houses. Birds make nests in trees, right? One nest, one tree, Isabella reflects during a science lesson. Who ever heard of a robin moving her eggs every week to a new tree? That'd be crazy, right? Yep, crazy. Welcome to my life. The constant switching feels like whiplash. Just as she gets comfortable in one home, she must adjust to different food, clothes, and rules all over again. At mom's, dinner is at 6 sharp, with vegetables required. At dad's, they eat whenever they're hungry, often ordering takeout. Isabella's parents lead starkly different post-divorce lives. Her father, Isaiah Maxwell Thornton III, is a successful investment banking lawyer with a pristine Mercedes and mansion. He maintains unwavering formality, always in three-piece suits with cufflinks, explaining, "I think it's important we look our very best at all times, like people of color, like black folks." Meanwhile, her mother, Nicole, works double shifts at Waffle House, often picking up Isabella still in uniform. Unlike dad's formality, mom embraces casual comfort with clever t-shirts and stocks Isabella's favorite junk foods, Flamin' Hot Fritos, Kool-Aid, gummy bears. Both have new partners. Dad dates Anastasia, a successful interior decorator in perfectly coordinated wool suits who smells of Shalimar. Her son, Darren, intelligent, kind, and Ivy League bound, becomes like a brother to Isabella. Mom dates John Mark, a bowling alley manager with sunburned skin and interesting tattoos who brings smiles and giggles to mom's face, erasing her tired, pinched look. Looking in the mirror, Isabella sees both parents in her features. Mom's freckles, green eyes, and thin lips mixed with dad's curly hair, wide nose, and big toothed smile. It's like they were put in a blender and the result was me, she reflects. Though Isabella's sounds like it should belong to a pale, blue-eyed girl, she's bronze-skinned with wild, kinky, dirty brown hair. Her middle name, Battia, meaning unique, makes her stand a little taller. At school, Isabella's racial identity becomes significant when her friend Imani, tall and slim and dark, like some kind of African princess, becomes the target of a hate crime involving a noose in her locker. The incident divides the school along racial lines, forcing Isabella to consider where she belongs. In a conversation with her mother, Isabella admits, "I love you, Mom, but I'm not white. I never will be, and I don't want to be, because the half of me that is Daddy is stronger." On school forms, she checks black rather than other, because I'm not nothing. I am somebody. The noose in Imani's locker sends shockwaves through the school. Police patrol hallways, counselors offer emergency support, and classes are replaced with mandatory diversity workshops. During Mr. Kazili's class discussion, emotions run high. Jonte declares that white people do that kind of stuff all the time. My grandmother told me about crosses burning in her neighborhood. Heather tearfully expresses shame because it was probably somebody white who put the noose in Imani's locker. Tiffany suggests channeling their energy into Operation Heart Attack, covering lockers with paper hearts containing solidarity messages. The effects extend beyond school. At the mall, Isabella and Imani face racial profiling at an upscale boutique. The security guard shadows them immediately, approaching with hostility. "This store might not be the best choice for you ladies," labeling them possible threats to store merchandise. Isabella's small rebellion, deliberately tugging a sweater to the floor as they leave, feels both satisfying and inadequate. Throughout her divided life, music remains Isabella's constant sanctuary. Her piano journey began at 3 with a plastic keyboard that captivated her completely. Each Christmas brought better versions until, at 7, she received a real Casio with 88 weighted keys. When Isabella plays, she loses herself in the music, becoming one with the composers whose work flows through her fingers. She feels powerful and in control, rare sensations in her tumultuous life. Through music, she transforms. An elephant in the bass notes, a butterfly in the treble, or a rushing river in flowing arpeggios. The keys tell stories words cannot express. Isabella practices diligently for Pianopalooza at Werner Recital Hall. Though marketed as low stress, parents whisper about performances, teachers compare students, and nervous energy pervades. Her teacher, Madame Rubinstein, with snow-white hair in a perfect French twist and rings on every finger, pushes Isabella relentlessly toward excellence in her Mozart concerto. Isabella's divided life faces new chaos when both parents announce engagements on the same day. John Mark asks for her blessing over donuts, while Dad proposes to Anastasia at the Capitol Grill with dramatic flair, diamond ring on a silver platter, and a violinist playing Mendelssohn. Crisis erupts when both weddings are scheduled for August 11th, during Mom's custody week. Isabella overhears her mother refusing to change the date during a heated call with Dad, citing non-refundable deposits at the chapel on the hillside, her childhood dream venue. The wedding rivalry intensifies custody exchanges. On one exchange day, Mom arrives 2 hours late to find Dad waiting with police officers. When Mom explodes, Isabella flees through the mall into pouring rain. Taking shelter in a flower bed, she's found by both parents. They stand together in the downpour, designer clothes soaked, and wedding plans momentarily forgotten. When they embrace her together, Isabella feels the warmth of both parents simultaneously for the first time since the divorce, a rare moment of unity. After Isabella's injury during a police confrontation that mistakenly targets Darren, her divided family begins to unite. Her father sincerely congratulates Mom and John Mark on their wedding, with Mom returning the goodwill, civility that surprises Isabella, who expected arguments instead. Dad reschedules his wedding for the week after Mom's ceremony. During a special campfire, he apologizes for his behavior and shares childhood stories, creating genuine connection between them. Through these challenges, Isabella finds her own harmony. Her identity as a biracial child of divorce is complex, but she's learning to embrace all parts of herself. Like the piano she loves, with black and white keys creating beautiful music together, Isabella discovers her blended identity isn't a weakness, but a strength, a unique composition all her own. The black and white keys of her life, her parents, racial identity, divided homes, create something harmonious when played together with love and understanding. In this realization, Isabella finds not just acceptance, but pride in being blended.